Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are excited to be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. Beautiful weather, great day to be out on the Alabama, on the fantail. And we've got a great hour coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and we also like to thank the Lifeline's Counseling Services, which supply the Veteran 211 hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors. And you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. Hey, join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. Coming up later this hour on SBN, we will talk with Miss Amelia Bowles from Lifeline's Counseling Services. She's going to let us know the latest on what they have to offer the local community and one of their upcoming events. We'll also speak with the Marines from the local Toys for Tots program on how you can improvise, adapt, and overcome to provide Christmas to a child in need in the local community. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Thanksgiving. I don't think that's a word, Tom.
I made that up.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. There's a whole book from what I
understand. Yeah, I know. I told you I went to HK College.
That's it. But, hey, first, it's great to be joined by one of the folks from Ed's Seafood Shed. It's one of the regional general managers, Matt. Welcome to the Scuttlebutt, and thank you so much for everything you guys do at Ed's for the military and veterans and first responders.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me. It's an honor, and we do not only at Ed's but at the other sister restaurants. We do honor all the veterans, and we appreciate everything y'all do.
Outstanding. I know you honor them, but you also give them a pretty good discount from what
I
understand.
Yeah, we do. They get a 15% discount to come in, show an ID, and we'll get you taken care of.
Outstanding. So what are some of the great things? It's the holiday season. People are thinking about food. And when I think of food and I think of Ed's, there's some great food there.
Great
so
food.
What's going on?
Great food. Well, holidays, you think of gift cards. Gift cards is a big deal, and a lot of people can't figure out what they want to buy for their loved ones and their friends. And right now we're doing you buy $100, get a $20 gift card free with that, compliments of Ed's. And then, come in and get you some gumbo, bisque, especially with it being cold right now. Selling a lot of that, and then deep fried cornbread, fried shrimp po' boys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tom's just had some of our fried cornbread, so
yes.
Get them taken care of and fill up the belly in the wintertime.
Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah, that's some, the gumbo and the bisque with weather like this, that's a perfect,
awesome. Yes.
Perfect combo. So, one thing you think about in the holidays is, get-togethers, banquets, Christmas parties. With all the COVID-related stuff, is Ed's open for that kind of stuff, for banquets and Christmas parties?
Yeah, Ed's is a big venue and known for doing big, large parties, even renting out the restaurant from time to time for even larger Christmas parties for companies and stuff like that. But this year, we've had to back down a little bit, unfortunately, and we can do probably 25 to 30 people with the certain restrictions that we got going on, especially with the winter time right now. It's, you know, we have to use it, do it inside most of the time, and then that takes up a lot of space, you know, but we can squeeze in probably 25 to 30 people with the right separation of social distancing and stuff like that. So
okay, so you can still work within mm-hmm. within all those guidelines yeah. And keep people safe in the current environment. Now, how about if somebody is wanting to host an event at their home or at their business?
Right.
You know, what can you do there? And not just Ed's, but I know you have other venues.
Yeah, we anytime, you know, we do cater. We have catering supplies and stuff like that. We've done many catering events. We can bring it out. Call me. We'll work. Normally, we don't really have a menu. We work together. And just tell me what you want. We can do anything that you want and work it out together. And then we'll bring it out, set it up. We can bring people to serve it. We can bring it to drop it off, depending on, you know, whatever they want us to do, we can make it right for them.
Oh, they can come by and pick it up.
They can come by and pick it up. Yeah, they can
right.
do that as
okay.
well. Mm-hmm.
Well. Now, look, let's say if they want to come by and pick it up, obviously, you know, if they want to come by and pick up, say, a quart of gumbo or something like that, that's pretty easy. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they're looking to serve a crowd, they need to call and plan that.
Yeah, calling ahead would be good for a big group. We normally can have it ready normally a day ahead of time, just let us know to make sure we have enough to continue to serve in the restaurant, but we can also prepare enough for you for the next day, and we can serve the gumbo hot or cold. You know, a lot of people come in there and like to get certain items cold and make it seem like they prepared it themselves. It's only a secret between us, you know. It happens
ladies
a lot.
Wouldn't do that,
no,
would they?
No, they don't. I can't tell you who it is. But that's happened
many times. The general
is
stepping up over here.
time. So if you got that in your head and the idea, you get it cold and
yeah.
bring it home,
didn't
put it in
a
pot.
Do that, did
that's
you
it. Yeah, so. You pretend like you slaved.
Yeah, you worked really hard on it.
Really? Yeah. So what? Yeah. And then when they ask, "What's the secret to your roux?"
Uh-huh.
And you go, "Whoa, what?"
My Uncle Ed. Uncle Ed.
Yeah, it's an old family secret.
Yeah, old family secret.
Well, you know, that is great. What are your hours? Do you have any special hours with the holidays?
Well, not with the holidays, but we did back in September just started doing breakfast every day. We've been
Ooh,
doing
awesome.
Breakfast on Saturday and Sunday for just over a year now, and then we just changed it. There's no other breakfast concept on the Causeway that does breakfast, the good old Southern breakfast, and we started doing that every day back in September, and that's open at 8, and lunch starts at 11. And 11:30 on the weekends, just for us to change over to lunch. And it's been really busy on the weekends. We're trying to build the breakfast times, and we close at 8:30 on the weekdays and 9 on the weekends.
Okay, so but outside of that, you know, are you closed for, say, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve,
Christmas
year,
Day?
All those things
yeah, Christmas
along?
Day will be closed, and Christmas Eve will close at 3 o'clock. And
so if they want to have that gumbo that they
yeah,
made.
Yeah, that they worked on.
Right, they do need to come in a little earlier.
Come get their grandma's recipe
yeah,
gumbo.
Yeah, yeah. Grandma's, Uncle Ed's, whoever you want to call it, I don't care, as long as you come to Ed's and get it.
Now, what about, you know, so the other restaurants as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Squid Ink. Mm-hmm. And then
Squid Ink, Sunset Point, and then Panini Pete's in Fairhope. Yes.
All right. And so all those, you know, they're available if folks want to call in and get you know, large orders to take home.
Large orders, yeah, and they can do that same as they did at Ed's. They can call in and get taken care of there. Also, our new system we got after quarantine this year, the gift cards work everywhere. So our gift card will work at any one of our sister restaurants just as well as theirs will ours. So the guests will get, you know, a gift card from us, but if they decide they wanted to try a little bit of Panini Pete's, a little bit of Sunset Point, they can do what they need to do and use the same card. So
now that's a great gift, because, I mean, you know, they said hand you a card. And maybe you want to get seafood, but maybe you want to try something
yeah,
else.
Right. Yeah, they want to just dabble a little bit everywhere. Pete's got it a little bit everything, so they can
well,
definitely do that.
So can they go get a haircut on the same card?
That's a question I don't have the answer for. I don't know. I don't know. We that's something I have to find out before the next broadcast.
There you go.
She takes cash.
That still works.
Cash works. I've been there.
Well, Matt, we appreciate you being with us. Where can folks go for more information? Facebook page?
Yeah,
website,
Facebook. We're very big on social media, posting daily specials and stuff like that. But, yeah, they can go on Facebook. They can message us. It comes straight to me or any one of my managers. Even the owners, Nick and Pete, can get in on that, and they check our messages. And and they can call us at the restaurant. We can get them taken care of, however.
All right, so that's the best jumping off point to find out more information or place those holiday orders.
Social media is definitely the best information.
Outstanding. That's social media, Tom. We'll talk about that later.
Social media, what is that?
Hey, it is great to have Matt here. We appreciate you coming over. Thanks for everything that you guys do for our veterans, first responders, military. Hey, on the other side of the break, the executive director of the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for rights and freedom, and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to...
Boss, updated winds are 2-0-0 at 12. We own the airfield and airspace. You are clear for takeoff. Takeoff. Check your bunker break off. Check your shrimp set. Check your nose steering arm maneuver. Dive and burn and go. A low transition. Right turn out. 83. Dive and out there on 16. Let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, check us out on Facebook. And if you like to listen on demand, you can pick up most of our regularly aired programs via most of the major podcasting sites out there. And you can check out Tom's tirade on demand. And he is kind of a demanding kind of guy at times. But you can check that out at castbox.net. And it is an honor to be joined on SBN once again by the executive director of the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. General, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your hospitality.
Absolutely.
Having us here.
Marines, good to see you. And that great aviation intro leads me to tell you that we've got 5 aircraft confirmed to fly this weekend for the Living History crew.
Ooh, that's good.
For the Yak Attack. So, you know, sometimes the planes can't fly, or maybe not you know, as many as we hope. But, you know, as I said a little earlier talking to Sean, sometimes it's a mechanical issue. These guys are volunteers, and their safety is paramount. So we want them to make sure, if we're going to keep them flying, we want to make sure that they're safe when they do it. So should be a great weekend for our Living History crew drill weekend.
Well, yeah, that's coming up this weekend. Now, you mentioned the Yak Attack and those flyers. Where are they based?
As I understand, they're based out of Irvington. They're all private pilots that volunteer. They fly that Soviet-era it's propeller aircraft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have smoke coming out. We've got a 40-millimeter Bofors gun that fires here, retrofitted for sound, 3 20-millimeter Oerlikon machine guns. And the reenactors, the Navy guys, and the Marines are shooting at the aircraft as they come in deck high. And it's pretty exciting. It's a great weekend. They're true reenactors. They berth overnight on the ship, and they live the Navy life over the weekend. It ain't for me being in the Army, but but I do love working
even on
this
your
fine
own
ship.
Battleship.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. My dad was a World War II Navy sailor, so, and a Coast Guardsman after that.
Well, you know, berthing on the ship, you know, if you come and if you've never visited the Alabama or in the Drum, especially, but to think about living on something like the Alabama or the Drum in the tight quarters.
Oh, yeah.
No air conditioning.
No.
Right.
Circulated air, but no air conditioning.
Right. And just to think about the conditions that that you were living in.
The greatest generation.
Not to mention the fact that at any time you could be attacked.
That's exactly right.
Right.
But, and of course, you know, but Tom's very familiar with the brig. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We actually have a cardboard cutout of Tom down there in the brig. I'll have to talk to
him. I hope he's got the right rank.
Yeah. Busted. Busted.
Well, he's praised private.
That rank. That's exactly right.
But you've got the Living History is coming up on Saturday, and I know you mentioned the Yak Attack, but what else, what all is going on? I know there's always a full day of events.
Every December, we take $2 off the admission price if our visitors bring donations for the William F. Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette. And what they need now are these items. They need wall calendars, sugar-free candy, T-shirts that are 2X and 3XL in size, socks and slippers, nothing homemade, no canned goods. But if you'll bring that, $2 off your admission. That's so we awesome. Can help support our great veterans living up there.
And they certainly need it, and it would be very helpful for them, Joe.
Absolutely. We're collecting for Toys for Tots in our ship store. We do that every year, and we've got a big weekend planned. We ask folks to visit the ship's post office. If you've never been to see it, it just looks like a small country post office, and we have Operation Gratitude forms there. That's a national program that sends care packages to our troops overseas, and these messages are forwarded to that group to go into these care packages. So we invite the kids and adults to send those messages.
Well, with you got the holidays coming up. Are you? Do you have any special hours? Because I know the battleships normally open all the time.
We're open every day but Christmas Day.
Okay.
8 to 5.
Outstanding. I notice when you first pull in, you've got a big tent and there's an aircraft
yes.
underneath it. I know that's just one of many restoration projects that are going on. Give us some updates.
It is. Mike Thompson, our aircraft exhibits manager, is reconfiguring our B-25. That is one of the aircraft that the commission actually owns to the Doolittle configuration with the plexiglass nose. The work and the detail he's doing inside is incredible.
It is unbelievable.
It is.
It is.
We just actually finished doing the big machine shop. One of our part-time employees, Chris Bryant, has worked extensively in there. And if you get down there and you see the world that my dad worked in, you know, the ship fitter shop, this machine shop, it is incredible. The large wrenches laying around, the small details, it looks just like it does when the sailors walked out of it.
You know, it's unique part about that is I was talking to Mike. He's actually used some of that machinery to redesign and develop some of the pieces that he's put on the aircraft out there on the B-25.
He has. And we have our large lathe in the machine shop actually works. A couple of years ago, some volunteers from the USS North Carolina came down and helped us get it fired up. And it can actually, do its function. We have a number of machines here that will do that.
That's one of the things that I really love about the park. Obviously you got the Alabama and the drum, but the aircraft, it seems like everything here has a story. It's not just a plane,
right?
You know, there's
right.
There's some history, there's a story, there's names that you can put with it.
And that's right. It's like the Blackbird, which is actually an earlier variant of the SR-71. It's an A-12. Mike Thompson can tell you about Operation Oxcart, the CIA, and the missions that plane flew, things that we knew nothing about back in the day. The Kingfisher that actually sat on the deck and sat on the catapults out here, how the late Commissioner Robert Eddington located it in South America and had it returned up here, how it was completely restored and then destroyed by Katrina, and she's next on our list to restore her again. Probably going to put her back on the Fantail.
That
would be super cool.
Yeah.
Years ago, they had her on the catapult, but the seagulls like to sit on the little Kingfisher aircraft, and you know how that goes. So we've got to protect her from the seagulls a little bit.
Try to put netting around
yes,
her.
Yes, absolutely.
With the living history, what time does all that start on Saturday?
They'll do their call to colors at 8:30 on the Fantail, the posting of the colors. We're doing a repair on our ensign staff back there right now, so they can do that. The living history crew will change command at 10 o'clock. Tony Watson, who has commanded that group for several years, will turn it over to Stephen Walchuk. And then at 1 o'clock, the call to battle stations, that's when the activities begin for the Yak attack and the deck drills. So I'd get here noon, a little bit before that, so you can get aboard the ship, see some of the sights here, and be in place when the aircraft begin to fly.
That's outstanding, and it looks like it's going to be a great weekend.
Oh, the weather looks super.
It will be a great time to be out.
Yes.
Our listeners may or may not know this, but the Alabama doesn't receive any tax dollars, correct?
We don't. We are an agency of the state of Alabama, but we're one of eight what they call a non-checkbook agencies, which means that we do a lot of reporting back to the state, the Ethics Commission, financial records, things of that nature. But we've never, since the park opened in 1965, received any daily operations money from the state or the federal government. Back in the 90s, there was money made available to replate the hull. The legislature several years ago allocated $1 million to replace the teak deck, which we are in the process of advertising very shortly to begin that process. But as far as operation money, when our visitors come through, they pay their $4 to park. They come in and tour and pay that ticket. That's what keeps the park open. And, you know, we closed completely for 6 weeks. Our crew did an amazing amount of deferred maintenance at that time, but our visitors are coming in. Last week, Camp Rapahope had their turkey trot.
Awesome.
We had about 1,300 people here that day, and 500 were participating in the turkey trot for their run. They had a great time.
Oh, it was great.
That is outstanding. So I mentioned that simply because in, you know, the Christmas time, people sometimes are looking to give to charities.
Absolutely.
And so how could they do that?
There are so many worthy charities, but of course donations can be made to USS Alabama Battleship Foundation, which holds the money that allows us to do our restoration project. So if people want to donate, they can go on our website, and there's information there.
On the website, okay.
Yes.
And also I know the Facebook page.
Yes, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Rhonda Davis has us rocking and rolling. Social media. I have a Facebook page so I can look at the Battleship page. And my friends and people I know go, are you too good to friend me on Facebook? I'm like, I think I know what that means.
I got enough friends.
No, I've got two friends. One is Rhonda Davis, one's Bill Tuttle, that set my page up. So I'm not a dinosaur. I appreciate it. And we have a great social media program here.
Outstanding.
Thank you, Marines.
General, thank you so much for having
us
and being on with us. And thank you for everything that you do here at the park.
Always. Thank you for taking care of our veterans through your program.
Thank you, ma'am.
Outstanding. Hey, on the other side of the break, Toys for Tots. We'll have the Marines coming in to talk about the Toys for Tots program. We'll return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. We're broadcasting live from the battleship USS Alabama on this beautiful, beautiful winter day here on Mobile Bay. It's like one of the two winter days that we actually have down here. But, Tom, you want to thank the sponsors for us?
I certainly do. We'd like to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, where we're at today, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimmerly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
Well, you know, the Marines have been holding territory for the Army to show up since 1775. Now we clear the way for Santa. And we're privileged to be joined by Marine Staff Sergeant Ward with the Toys for Tots program. Hey, Sergeant, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your service. Obviously, you know, the audience probably knows a little bit about Toys for Tots, but we're coming up, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. So where can folks, if they want to participate, what can they do?
All right, so there's a couple different ways that you can participate in Toys for Tots. First off, you can go to the website. It's mobile-al.toysfortots.org, and you can see a full list of all of the drop-off locations that are collecting toys for us. Some of those include most of the Pep Boys, Logan Steakhouse, and Alabama Shipyard LLC.
Great, great. Now, I know there's always a cutoff. So, what's the latest folks can get those toys in?
So, the cutoff was going to be December 7th, but with some of our events getting canceled due to the coronavirus, we are extending that deadline to December 11th.
December 11th, okay. Now, can they just, if they want to, can they go on that website and just donate money?
They can. There is a link.
If they're on the website, there's a link on the website.
There's a link on the website, and you can donate cash, checks at just about any location.
Okay, so yeah, so you don't have to necessarily do the it's a new unwrapped toys.
New unwrapped toys.
Right, or they can donate cash because that always goes into buying more toys. Now, I know you do have a big donation that you're going to need some help logistically with.
Yes, sir.
What are you looking for there?
So we have the Walmart Distributing Center is donating 75 pallets of toys, and we need to transport them to a warehouse that we don't have yet.
All right, so there's two things there.
Yes, sir.
There's one is you need transportation for 75 pallets.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, is that, Tom, you've done some of the trucking stuff before. Is that going to fit on one big tractor
trailer? That will fit on one trailer, but it has to be like a 40-foot box trailer.
Okay.
And since they're dumping the pallets inside of the trailer, as the sergeant was telling me, then they're going to have to unload it piece by piece. So they need to, the trailer needs to be able to be secured by being able to lock the doors on. And that way, you know, if they don't get it unloaded in one night, the next day or whatever, you know, they can get it unloaded then. So we can't use a flatbed. It has to be a box trailer.
Gotcha. They could probably find some pulleys from the recruiting station. Going
well,
to
yeah.
We might be able to.
But, all right, so you need the trailer for transportation, and then you need storage.
Yes.
So warehouse space?
Warehouse space. We usually combine warehouse spaces like the old parts of the mall. We still haven't received that this year, and we try to co-locate with Salvation Army because we haven't been able to find our own facility in the last 2 years.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. So if somebody has a lead on those two things, who should they contact?
So they should contact Sergeant Saldivar. His phone number is 251-307-7223.
Outstanding. All right. Well, Staff Sergeant, thank you for your service. Thank you for working with the Toys for Tots program.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for being here with us on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Oh, yeah. And everything we collect here stays here.
Yes, sir.
And it'll come back to this area. So it's not like we're collecting toys and money to send off somewhere some other city. Right.
Outstanding. Well, folks, there you go. You can jump on the web and find the Toys for Tots location here in Mobile. And also, if you've got the ability to help with the transportation and or the storage of these toys, it's a great cause. Make sure you reach out and make contact with them. Hey, we're going to switch gears here, and we're going to bring on Miss Amelia Bowles from Lifeline's Counseling Services. She's got an event coming up in the next week. And like many of our of these events that we've kind of had to shift gears with COVID, and you've have events that have gone from being in person and where everybody gets to come together and enjoy each other. This is going to be a virtual event. So, Amelia, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks for coming on from Lifelines.
Thank you so much for having me today. It's great to be here and to be able to talk about what I think is a great program that we have to offer our community. Probably something that a lot of people don't know about. So it's great to be here and talk about it today.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've got your event's coming up December 9th.
Yes.
And like I was saying, a lot of these events that used to happen in person, it's going to be a virtual event. So tell us about it.
Absolutely. So this will be a pilot virtual child developmental screening event, and it's going to be sponsored by Lifelines Counseling Services, but it's for Help Me Grow South Alabama. And this event's going to allow our parents, any parents with children ages birth to 5 years old, can participate. And we're asking them to do this two-part pilot phase, which is we're going to have part one on the 9th, and then we'll have the part two will be an extended period for them to complete a screening. And so as they join us, they're going to learn about Help Me Grow Alabama and also about a free online tool that parents can use that's going to help them to monitor their children's development. So this is what they'll get out of participating, is something that they can actually take away and use on their own to track their child's development, and also learn about how Help Me Grow can help them get connected with any resources they might need with their child's development or any concerns they might have.
Now, this is for kids, you mentioned quickly, but it's for kids up to age 5.
Yes. Now, Help Me Grow itself is from birth to 8 years old, but
okay.
This particular event is just for children birth to 5, and that's because the developmental screening itself only goes for that up to that age.
Okay, and we've still got a couple of minutes. So when you say developmental screening, yes, okay, so if I'm listening out there, what are we going to be doing? Because I'm thinking online, that's got to be really difficult to try to do something like that when you can't have, I mean, little ones, they want to pick up stuff and chew it and, you know, feel it and all. So how do you do that virtually?
Absolutely. And that is a concern right now. It's very difficult for our younger children, particularly this age group, to engage with the on-screen. So what we're asking parents to do is just join us that first day on the 9th, as we're going to, it's going to be a time to learn about developmental screening. So we'll be educating the parents, and then there's a time for Q&A for them. And then as they join back in with us, we won't actually have them online with us, but we'll have a separate format for them to complete the screenings individually. And then that'll be between the 11th and the 14th. We'll give them that amount of time to engage and do that piece of the event, and then we will actually follow back up with them to go over those screenings individually with the families.
Okay. All right. So the event, December 9th, it's at 10 a.m.?
Yes.
And so that's sort of almost like an information session.
Absolutely. It's more of a presentation, an overview of Help Me Grow and of about developmental screenings and the importance of using those.
Okay. Do they have to pre-register? And if they do, where do they go, or how do they get plugged in for this?
Yes. Well, it's just as easy as sending us an email at helpmegrow@lifelinesmobile.org. They can shoot me an email. I'll send them the invite with a link for the registration. And as soon as I get that, I'll get them signed up. And hopefully we will get to see them on next Wednesday.
Outstanding. And there's no cost.
And there's no cost. Everything that we do, it's a free care coordination program, Help Me Grow. And all of the resources that we try to connect our family with are free, or at least affordable for our families.
Outstanding. Well, Amelia, real quick, give us the email address again for them to contact.
It's helpmegrow@lifelinesmobile.org.
Outstanding. Well, Amelia Bowles with Lifelines Counseling Services, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much for all that you guys do for our community.
Thank you so much.
Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on thanks-tortion. Again, he's making up words. Of course, he does that. Anyway, we're going to have all that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
So, listeners to SBN, are you good and ready for 2020 to be gone? Are you counting the days in your bunker or your basement if you're a weekend at Joe Biden's? Slowly pulling back the mandated mask in order to catch a glimpse at the calendar to see just how many more days are left until you can? Well, who knows? Walk the streets with someone by your side? Maybe have a quiet dinner at a restaurant owned by the locals, such as Captain Newsom out on the left coast? Take a few minutes to get your precious locks coiffed by a trendy stylist in an upscale boutique a la Nancy Botoxy. Or maybe, just maybe, you would like to be able to follow your faith in God, from whom all blessings are given and to whom all thanks should be lifted, with your fellow believers. Not on a damn Zoom call or YouTube channel, but in actual fellowship. With all the love and fellowship that has happened for over 2,000 years since our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ instituted the Christian faith. Just so you know, I posed the aforementioned question about wanting to see 2020 go away because I figured that the way things are going, you might not want to wave the 2021 banners just yet. Because unless the political winds change dramatically, the freedoms that we have been forced to surrender under the guise of the pandemic are nothing compared to what might be coming under the administration of the fraudulent president-elect Joe Uncle Joe, that is, and the misery that will no doubt fall upon future generations. In case you have missed it, the term socialism is being thrown about quite a bit these days, although it should really be communism, as those patriots who love America's great capitalist economy and Republican form of government warn of an imminent demise of the freedoms that have been guarded by the blood of patriots. One wonders whether the term socialism has any meaning for those who never experienced the fear of communism or fascist global dominance, which probably represents most of the young utopian voters. Einstein's quote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it," should serve as a sober reminder that every generation is responsible for handing down the knowledge and wisdom attained by those who have come before us. Those who studied the revisionist, plundered history lessons in government schools may be surprised to learn America has already experimented with socialism. Out of that failed experiment emerged our free market, capitalistic economy system. And no, America's first experiment with socialism wasn't Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, nor was it Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. Although both made sweeping changes to the nation's underlying government structure and entrapped America in the bureaucratic quagmire of the cradle-to-the-grave welfare state. No, America's very first experiment with redistribution of wealth occurred before America was officially a nation. You see, in 1620, the Puritan pilgrims arrived in the wilderness of Plymouth, Massachusetts. Unlike the phony history of the 1619 Project, they were seeking escape from religious persecution in Europe, not looking to spread the scourge of European slavery to the New World. The Puritans risked their lives crossing the Atlantic to establish a new colony in the wilds of America. Upon arrival, they decided that their new community would be some sort of utopia, practicing collectivism, aka socialism. All labor was communal, with men raising crops for all families, not just their own, and women engaged in domestic chores for their neighbors. Later, the Pilgrims' governor, William Bradford, described the folly of embracing the theory of collectivism. Quote, "The experience that was had in this common course and condition, tried sundry years, and that almost godly and sober men may well invent the vanity, that to take it away of property and bring it in community into a commonwealth would make them happy and flourishing, as if they were wiser than God. For this community was found to breed such confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and comfort. For the young men, they were most able and fit for labor and service, did repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for another man's wives and children without any recompense. The strong had no more in division of victuals and clothes than he that was weak and not able to do a quarter the other could. This was thought injustice. The aged and graver men, to be ranked and equalized in labor's everything else, thought in some indignity and disrespect upon them. And for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men, they deemed it a kind of slavery." For those libtards listening in, he is basically saying that the Pilgrims, a pious and decent people, discovered that even the best of men cannot thrive under socialism incentive-crushing system. This experiment with socialism, probably its best chance for success among such selfless, righteous people, failed miserably. The Puritans discovered that government cannot deny men's inherent desire to work hard to provide for his own family and be rewarded when his labor exceeds his neighbor's. In the modern world, we have seen the horrible results that such a system has in the hands of those without such a moral compass. Having learned a valuable lesson about human nature, the Pilgrims established a new economic system that encouraged and rewarded personal initiative. Instead of a collectivism labor force, each family was given a plot of land on which to grow their own crops. Soon, each family was pulling its own weight. In fact, the harvest was so bountiful that the Pilgrims were able to trade with local Indians and the colony prospered. The first Thanksgiving, rightly acknowledging the grace of God, ensued. Nowadays, the Puritans are maligned and disparaged by the politically correct for their religious devotion. But America should be thankful to these brave souls for not only bringing the concept of religious freedom across the Atlantic, but for surviving America's first experiment with socialism. The misery they experienced under socialism led to the free market economy later established by their prosperity and the freedoms enshrined in our founding documents. Capitalism, while not perfect, gives man the incentive he needs to work hard for his family and thereby help his entire community, not by force of government, but out of true generosity. If America fails to learn from the mistakes of our ancestors, we'll have forgotten the truth of Einstein's aphorism. In doing so, we will subject our children and grandchildren to unfathomable hardship, the likes of which that can never be imagined. For Thanksgiving gives way to Thankstortion, and from which there may be no return as freedom-loving patriots such as you and I either fight and die for independence or are disappeared into the re-education gulags not seen since the Soviet Union. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Oh, I forgot. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Oh, turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroys. Gobble, gobble, boo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans. For the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, just a little bit of Adam Sandler there to lighten the lighten things up.
I enjoyed it.
But, you know, tell us, it's interesting, as we lose a lot of our history and you know the things that have aren't it's things that aren't taught anymore
right,
in schools
right.
To be able to realize exactly what that Mayflower Compact was and how it ultimately impacted the nation that we built and you know the turn that it looks like many in our nation are taking towards at least flirting with socialism in some way and doing it happily.
Right. They think it's the greatest thing since, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Free peanut butter and jelly
sandwiches.
They
varnish it too.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and they tell you how many to eat.
Well, that eventually gets to that. But, you know, the challenge that you face, Tom, is eventually you run out of other people's money.
Right. Right.
And like you mentioned in the tirade, there's a tremendous disincentive for me to go out and work for somebody else to take it.
Why should I bust my butt for you? You know, for say the other guys or whatever. And
yeah.
They're sitting at home drinking beer.
Well,
I ain't going to do that.
Well, free beer.
Free beer. There you go.
But, you know, it's always great to be here on the battleship and broadcasting live on one of the hours from Sean Sullivan's Midday Show. And, of course, we want to thank Sean for allowing us to do it. Thank the battleship for allowing us to be here. You know, real quick, Tom, we did, when one of the guests, especially Toys for Tots.
Right.
They have some real needs.
They do have some needs.
These are the Marines that are out there every year promoting this program,
right.
And they've run into some logistic problems. But, you know, if you have a line on the transportation forum for those toys, they're coming locally.
And our warehouse.
And storage.
Right, storage. But, you know, they have a little money that may, if there's a light bill or something like that, that they could probably pay for that. But, you know, they're not in a position to buy, you know, pay for storage facilities.
Right.
Themselves.
No, that kind of defeats the purpose of the program. So if you've got that out there and you can do it, contact the Toys for Tots program or, you know, get in touch with us
at
the Scuttlebutt, and we will hook you up. But we want to thank you for joining us. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word.
Hoorah.
We'll catch you on the other side.